Yesterday, at the end of the diocesan council meeting, Mother Joy Segal, who is the rector at Old Swedes Church in Old City, said, well, I would really love to be a fly on the wall in all of your churches tomorrow because there's going to be some interesting preaching, given the text, given current events. And indeed, the priesty part of Facebook has sort of lit up with the same sort of sentiment. It's an interesting story that we hear today, a familiar one from Luke's Gospel, about the Gerasene demoniac, the man who met Jesus when the minute he stepped out of his boat onto dry land. Luke tells us that this man came and threw himself at Jesus' feet. He was naked. He was considered to be out of his mind, often thrown into jail, at least shackled. He would escape and be run off into the woods. He slept in the tombs among the dead. Needless to say, someone that no one would want anything to do with. Someone, I'm sure, who was feared. So when he saw Jesus, he fell down and shouted at the top of his voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." Now, naturally, the people who lived in this community saw the man. Jesus, of course, saw what was inside the man. Jesus knew how he was tormented and tortured by these demons. And Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" And the response he got was legion, meaning that many demons had entered this man. Now, this is an interesting point because in the sacrament of exorcism, which does exist, it's nothing like in the movies, but in that rite, part of what the priest has to do, following the example of Jesus, is to discover the name of the demon and then cast the demon out by name in the name of Jesus. So Jesus hears that we are legion. And they begged him not to throw them back into the abyss. You see, they don't want to be in hell either. And so on the hillside, there was a large herd of swine that was feeding, and the demons begged Jesus to let them enter the pigs instead. So, for whatever reason, he gave them permission. They left the man, entered the swine. The swine jumped off the hillside into the lake and drowned themselves. Needless to say, when the people saw this, they were terrified. The shepherds, the swineherds, went and they told everyone what they had seen. And when they came back to Jesus, they saw, to their shock and awe, this wild man, this crazy man, this dangerous person, sitting at his feet, clothed and in his right mind. Now the people asked Jesus to please just leave because they were terrified. However, the man who had the demons cast out wanted to be part of Jesus' disciples and go with him. But Jesus said, "No, I want you to stay here and proclaim what God has done for you." And that is what the man did. Now, whether you believe demons to be real creatures that creep along and stalk the earth and torment people, whether you believe they are a metaphor or whether you don't know what you believe, there are forces in this world that we can call demonic. And we don't like to think about it. It's unpleasant. It makes people uncomfortable. It might not be politically correct to talk about it or expedient at the moment to talk about it. But these things exist. And we are tormented on a regular basis. So, following the example of Jesus, let's ask the demon, what is its name? What are their names? I can think of a few. Hate, envy, greed, racism, sexism, homophobia, collusion, scheming, plotting, political patronage that puts legislators' careers ahead of human life. Those are a few. I'm sure you could add to that list as well. Poverty, hunger, addiction, drug abuse. All these things that are out there that we don't like to talk about, that we like to pretend don't exist, but when we least expect it, break into our world, into our false sense of security, and really rattle us. I don't have to remind you of what has happened in the course of this week. Last week at this time, when I was standing here speaking to you in this pulpit, the events in Orlando were still unfolding. We were still getting tweets and messages on our news services, on our phones and devices. And as we made it through last week, we uncovered and found out more and more details about the situation. We went home after church and turned on the news, of course. And one of the first people that I saw interviewed was the governor of Florida. And the governor was saying nice things about how he's appalled that people got hurt and he doesn't want anybody in Florida to get hurt. And the newscaster, the anchor, whoever you want to call him, said, well, Governor, the American people are really distressed and they want to help. How can they help? And I knew exactly what he was going to say. He said, well, just keep us in your thoughts and prayers. And that enraged me. I am a priest. You're all Christian people. Yes, we believe in the power of prayer. We really do. We pray the prayers of the people every Sunday. That's intercessory prayer for our country, for our diocese, for our city, for our loved ones. We pray the Eucharistic prayer every Sunday, asking Jesus to come among us sacramentally in the bread and the wine. Those prayers are real, and they work, and they are efficacious. However, to just sit there and say, well, if you'll just send some nice thoughts our way, I think that would be plenty for you to do. No, it's not. That's not what Jesus would have done. If that tortured, possessed man, or the woman last week who was riven with guilt and sin, or the leper, or you fill in the blank in the Bible, came up to Jesus and said, help me, you think he would say, oh, you're in my thoughts and prayers? No. He helped them. He reached out and he touched and blessed and healed the people that others would have nothing to do with. He went to places where nobody else would go. He broke bread with people who were considered untouchable. And so that's what we do. That's what we Christians do. We stand up and we say, things, enough of this foolishness. Enough collusion. It's not just a one-off thing. This is the 15th time in our president's tenure that he's had to get on television and talk about a mass shooting in this country. 15. And I wouldn't be surprised if there was a 16th before he leaves office in January. So that would be an average of 2 mass shootings every year for the last 8 years. And since the events on Monday, 125 more people have died because of guns. And I'm not going to get into the Constitution and the Second Amendment and what we should and shouldn't have. But what I'm going to get into as a faith leader and as a man of God and as someone who speaks to you from this pulpit is that we need to follow Jesus' example. We love to talk about Jesus and what a great guy he was and, oh, didn't he do wonderful things? Yes, he was great. Yes, he did do wonderful things. Yes, he still is working in this world, but we are his hands and feet and eyes and ears. It's not enough to sit in our pews or in our living rooms and think happy thoughts and close ourselves off from what's out there. That's not the work of a Christian pilgrim. The work of a Christian pilgrim is to go out there, just like Jesus did, into the world and meet it where it is. And stand up when things like this happen and talk to people who can make a change in our immediate community and nationally as well. Call your senators. Call your representatives. Tell them you had enough. I have. I'm really sick of it myself. And naturally, this particular instance hits home to me in a way that others have not. And I do not mean to minimize any other tragedies at all. But you can see that this demon of violence is cutting across every demographic in this country. There's not one of us who can say that we're safe because we live in a certain neighborhood or we're a certain color or a certain sexuality. No. Evil is coming. Evil is there for all of us to fight. And we need to band together as Christians, as brothers and sisters, as soldiers of the cross, and go forth into this world and proclaim the good news. Because what did St. Paul say to the Galatians? There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male or female. For all of you are one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. We are one in Christ Jesus. Let's put our money where our mouth is and go out and act like Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.